Back to the JT the Brick Show with today's guest host, Harry Ruiz.
It's the JT the Brick Show, broadcasting live from the Finley Cadillac Performance Studio.
Raiders bring a blitz. He takes up off the middle, and he's wrapped up from behind. Max Crosby!
Your silver and black home to sound off for over 25 years.
Open at the 35, racing to the 20, 10, touchdown Raiders!
And now, here's JT the Brick.
What's up, Raider Nation? Harry Ruiz here, filling in for JT the Brick. It's almost football season, folks. We're almost getting through it. I mean, mid-January, a very tough 2024 campaign ended, and it was like, all right, what's going to happen? Is there going to be change? And there's been change left and right when it comes to the Raiders. New coach, new GM, new quarterback. You're going to get a new squad on the field pretty much from the 53-man roster. There's very little carryover from last year, and you got some good parts from last year. You got Brock Bowers with a record-breaking rookie tight end season. You got Max Crosby, who's one of the best players in the NFL, who's coming off of an injury-riddled 2024. Now he's healthy in 2025. Mike, who hopefully he's able to stay on the field all season long. You got an offensive line who now has more chemistry. I mean, I'm always on the positive end of things, and I'm hoping that this season we're going to be able to talk about a team where last year they were competing, but unfortunately turnovers always made the third quarter be the part of the game where the game ended up being completely on the other end with the opposing team of the Raiders, with the team that they were facing. Now let's hope they take care of the football. Now let's hope the defensive side of the ball is able to get some turnovers, because it was a wow. There was a big streak of games with no turnovers for the silver and black. And if you're giving the ball away and not stealing it, then it's going to make a very tough formula to win games for your team. And with you, I'm pretty sure a lot of y'all read Vinny's article and ranking of the coaches that the Raiders are going to face and where Pete Carroll's at. Same thing with Geno Smith, where the ranking of him compared to the quarterbacks that the Raiders will face this season. We're in a way better spot than 2024, but the same situation prevails. We're also in one of, if not the toughest division in the NFL this campaign. And we got two games against each divisional opponent. Let's hopefully make it hell for them here in Las Vegas. And if the team starts winning, if this team starts getting the results on the field, I trust that the Raider Nation will say, all right, I ain't selling my tickets. I'm going to go watch the game. PSL holders, go watch the game yourselves and get yourself entrenched with the Raiders. Hopefully we got that second postseason run since the team moved to Las Vegas after 2021, but a little bit more consistent. Let's hope that this team is able to go from beginning to end consistency, not like 21 where it was like towards the end. They got that big streak of wins to make it to the playoffs. Let's come back to the current day. Let's come back to late June, early July of 2025, because this past weekend, I was out at Centennial High School here in Las Vegas. It was pretty cool to see Jonah Laulu, current Raiders defensive tackle, giving back to his community, giving back to the school where he graduated from. He's not a Gorman guy. He's not a big school guy here in Las Vegas. He came out of Centennial High School, and he was able to make it to college football. He played for Oklahoma. He played for Hawaii. He was able to get drafted to the NFL this past campaign, seventh rounder, if I recall correctly, and he didn't make it in Indianapolis. The Raiders bring him on board. He plays every game last season. He gets his first NFL career sack. He's able to get himself a spot in the silver and black and become the first Raiders player born in Las Vegas to represent the Las Vegas Raiders. The Raiders since the team moved to this city of light. And that's something very cool. And these youth camps are something that you see all throughout the country. The thing is, most of the time you see a promoter taking care of the event. And there's nothing wrong with that. And then the player, he's the face of the event. So the promoter then ends up charging kids to come up to the camp and participate in the camp. A couple hundred bucks. If you want a VIP experience, a little bit more. And you get to interact with that player. this camp, what I loved about it from Jonah is that he made it free. Every kid that signed up while the registration was open, because they ran out of spots in their first, the first time they put it up, and then they opened a little bit more spots, and he had over 100 boys and girls participate in that event. They were able to be a part of that event and see Jonah Laulu and go through drills with him and participate. And then after the event, he signed autographs for over an hour. He took pictures with every single person that was there, grown up and kid. And he had a little 4x6s that he was signing, his T-shirts he was signing. So that was pretty cool, because you see how the next generation, they're able to look up to him and be like, hey, I can be like Jonah Laulu. He came from the same school, from the same area as I did, and I don't have to go and play at Miami. I don't have to go and play at Notre Dame. I don't have to go and play at USC to end up making it like Jonah and become an NFL player. And that was something that I was able to see, the smiles from the kids, that they were able to enjoy this event and see into the future and be like, hey, that could be me in his shoes in a couple of years, coming from the same area, being from the same situation, and be like, hey, that's something where I got to give a lot of props to Jonah. I really enjoyed my time. My girlfriend and I were out there on Friday. And man, that was a great event. Hopefully year two, 2026, he's able to put more events like this and get some of his teammates out there to participate and show that union. I know that Levi Edwards, you can go to Raiders.com. He was out there. He put out an article regarding that camp and everything that went down with Jonah Laulu and Centennial High School. And I was able to get a one-on-one interview with Jonah where we spoke about his camp, about giving back to the community, but we also spoke about the OTAs and the mini camp process that he has gone through. He was there for the SAC Summit with Max Crosby and some NFL legends during the weekend as well, so we spoke about that. Here is my conversation with Raiders defensive tackle Jonah Laulu. We're here at Centennial High School, the old stomping grounds for Jonah Laulu. Jonah, how does it feel coming back now, but as an NFL player, as a draftee, and the first ever Las Vegas Raider born from Las Vegas?
Oh, man, it's super cool to be able to come back here. The field looks different from when I was here, because when I was here, it was dirt. But now we got the turf field, and you know, I'm out here. I'm 24 now. It's crazy seeing these kids was born in 2016, 2015, which is crazy because now I'm feeling old. And I mean, but it's super cool to come in here and pour into the youth at my old stomping grounds, Centennial, man. It's really such a blessing.
And we've seen players all throughout the country do camps, but we don't see many like you doing it for free, bringing taco trucks. We saw the ice cream folks coming over, doing everything for free for the kids. That feels different for you being from here, doing it for the kids from here, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Because, like, I mean, getting the taco truck and getting the ice cream truck to come in, do that, it was a small expense for these kids' joy and happiness. I mean, to come out here and show them that, you know, be a symbol of something that you can do whatever you put your mind to, no matter where you start. If you wear the same shoes to school every day, same socks, or whatever, your feet stink, like, it doesn't matter where you start. You can finish whatever, you can be whatever you want to be. And to be able to be a symbol and come show these kids that anything is possible, it's a really good feeling.
Raiders defensive tackle Jonah Laulu is our guest. Jonah, all these kids, you're becoming an inspiration for them. Seeing as like, hey, man, I'm from Vegas, and I'm not going to big schools, and I can get to the NFL like Jonah did. How does that feel?
It feels good because, you know, having that underdog mentality, it's what drives a lot of people, and having that hunger. Because, you know, if you got the will to play, you can do whatever the will to do whatever. You can do anything you want if you just put your mind to it. And I feel like I'm a living testimony to that, you know, being able to come back and show these kids and, you know, come out here and have some fun, play football and, you know, talk to these kids one-on-one, give them some fist bumps, some knuckles. You know, it means a lot. And it's super cool. You know, I got Coach Campbell. He actually came back and talked to me when I was in middle school, when he was in the league, I'm pretty sure. And I thought it was super cool. So to be in his shoes kind of and do that now, man, it's super cool because I hope I planted a seed for these kids and hopefully it grows.
And the cool part, we saw kids all the way from 7 through 13, but we saw boys and girls.
Yeah, hey, them girls is out there competing, I'm not going to lie. It's really cool to see. Well, hopefully we're going to see what happens, you know, in the future. Girls can maybe play football too, because they was out there competing with them boys. And I mean, I seen them breaking. I had them doing like D-line drills, catching routes, running routes, doing some linebacker drills, meet me in the alley. Like, it's crazy, man. So, hey, shout out to them girls out there. Don't, hey, just because you're a girl don't mean you can't come out here and compete with these boys.
Hey, flag football, Olympic sport in 3 years, so they're gonna be in it. Let's talk a little bit of Raider football. How was your first OTAs and minicamp with the Silver and Black?
Honestly, it was actually really good. I feel like I had a solid OTAs with everything, you know, practice, the defense getting more comfortable with everything, the coaches. Pete Carroll, he's a great coach. He's instilling that competitive culture within our team, and you know, having us do whatever it is, whether it's shooting baskets in the team meeting room, free throws off, or after practice doing field goal kicks, or throwing the ball, like random stuff. Like he's always having us compete, and it's gonna show when we go into training camp when we're out there competing, however long with whatever team, you know, going out there doing what we have to do to come out on top.
As a rookie in your first year, you went out there and took advantage of every single opportunity you have. After arriving to the Raiders like late August, early September, how beneficial is it for you that you're out here now throughout the offseason and you're going to go into training camp with the team?
It feels good. I'm feeling real confident. I feel like that's the biggest difference from last year to this year is my confidence and, you know, knowing my alignment, my assignment, building that relationship with the guys next to me, whether it's Malcolm or Max, understanding how we're going to rush, how they're about to, you know, what they're about to do to get to the quarterback or what we're going to do. And, I mean, I'm excited. I mean, to have the relationship, building the chemistry on that D-line and then with everybody on the defense and then the whole team as a whole, and we're going to go out there and we're going to put on a show.
Raiders DT Jonah Laulu here with us. Jonah, you see those young guys now, the ones that they're in your shoes from last year. You see Tonka, you see J.J. Pegues. What have you seen from those young bucks now with you being a one-year vet?
I mean, those guys out there, they're out there working. Shout out to them boys, Tonka, J.J., Tank, Trev, Autumn, Ja. They're out there working, and seeing them, man, I always try to be kind of like a big brother to them. Whether, even though it was my first year last year, it's crazy because, you know, last year I was like a rookie. I'm being quiet. And now, you know, I the coach is telling me, you know, you could don't be afraid to, you know, take more of a leadership role, whether it's by leading by example or whatever. And so, you know, being able to give those guys some type of tips or anything, learn from my mistakes from last year, I mean, and seeing them out there ball, it's really cool. And I have a good relationship with them. I mean, those are my dogs. And I mean, I'm excited to see what they do training camp and for the season.
We saw a lot of turnover with the coaching staff, except with Rob Leonard and with Patrick Graham. How big is that for you as a defensive lineman to still have your same position coach and your same DC?
It's really cool having Robbie and PG and everybody still in the building, because, you know, I had a good relationship with Robbie, and now we're continuing to build on that because, you know, he believes in me and he's helping me, you know, go get on the field and play faster and being able to make plays during OTAs. And man, I'm excited to see, you know, how I carry on from OTAs, you know, take another step forward into training camp and then another step forward preseason and another step forward to the season and just have a good year.
What message do you want to send out to the Raider Nation that they gave you a lot of support in your rookie season and they're excited to have you back on the team this year?
To Raider Nation, I promise you this year is going to be way different from last year, man. We're going to go out there, we're going to apply pressure to them offenses, the offensive line, our defensive line unit. We're like this, especially from last year, just building our relationships with everybody. I mean, I promise you we're going to go out there and give it our all.
Now my last question. Training camp is going to be here in Vegas in Henderson. I saw your post about, hey, it's getting hot out here, out there at OTAs. What can the folks, the new guys coming in, expect from the Vegas heat?
They better be drinking some not just some water, but some electrolytes, because, man, that dry heat, it'll dry you up and you're going to be cramping or whatever. You might get heat stroke, because I personally got heat stroke out here in Vegas back when I was in high school, and ever since then, never again. So, yeah, they're going to have to make sure to hydrate late at night. Drink when you don't even think about it. Just unconsciously drink.
Now you're an NFL alumni. You're a Sac Summit alumni. How was that, dude?
It was super cool being up there with Max and Vaughn and Calais Campbell was out there. Robert Mathis was out there. Cam Jordan. Like, being able to be with those guys, watch them, you know, in the flesh is super cool. And I mean, excited to go next year. This year was super fun. you know, we watch film. We got to talk, break it down. It was super cool. I feel like I learned a lot.
What would you tell little Jonah, who was playing on this field, when you're talking about it? Hey, in 2025, you're going to be rubbing elbows with Calais Campbell, future Hall of Famer, Von Miller, future Hall of Famer, with those guys.
I would not have believed it. I promise you, I probably would look crazy because I thought I was a tight end back when I was younger. But shoot, I mean, to look back to how far I've come, man, it's so crazy. And it's just, I'm just so blessed and thankful to be able to be doing what I'm doing.
Jonah Laulu, Bulldog, Centennial, Las Vegas. Congratulations, man. This is awesome for the community.
Thank you. Oh, I appreciate you, man.
Like I said, hopefully he can bring these kind of events more often to Las Vegas. The kids definitely enjoyed it for free to be able to go out there. And then he got hooked everybody up with free tacos and free ice cream. I mean, congrats to Jonah Laulu. Keep doing big things. He spoke right there about Tonka Hemingway, about J.J. Pegues. We had Nash from Houston call and ask us, like, hey, man, can they end up taking a spot? Any player right now. You look at the Pete Carroll philosophy with competition, any player can earn the spot of anybody. They just got to put in the work and not assume that because I was here last year, this is going to be for me the rest of this time. It's like, nah, man, you got to go put in the work, and whoever shows their best during training camp, during preseason, they're going to earn a spot with this team. And hopefully we see Jonah Laulu still putting out the work for the Raider Nation, not only this year, but for years to come. And he keeps doing a great job with the Raiders. Shout out to Jonah. Shout out to everybody out there with Jonah Laulu's camp. A lot of volunteers, a lot of folks from Centennial High School that definitely helped him out. La Casa Cigars and Lounge at Tivoli Village is a proud sponsor of the JT The Brick Show. La Casa has a big announcement. They are in the process of moving next door and reopening in a new, modern, and great location. La Casa has a walk-in humidor with over 500 cigar labels to choose from. Plus, La Casa Cigars and Lounge features live, local entertainment 7 nights a week. Stay tuned for their re-grand opening celebration and a special live broadcast. La Casa Cigars and Lounge at Tivoli Village and online at lacasacigars.com. 702-365-9200 is the number to call if you want to dial in and talk some Raiders football. We're going to go to a break, and after it, Chris Chapman is going to join me to talk about the Golden Knights, the big moves that they're making ahead of their 25-26 campaign, and also we're going to talk some soccer, Gold Cup, and the FIFA Club World Cup. Let's go to a break. We'll be right back with more here on the JT The Brick Show.
To the JT The Brick Show with today's guest host, Harry Ruiz.
Milinkovic, Savage! What a save! It's in! There's no offside flag! They've done it again! For the third time tonight, Al Hilal take the lead!
Now that the knockout stage has started at the FIFA Club World Cup, we got one of the most exciting games of the year in professional club soccer. Al Hilal from Saudi Arabia eliminated Manchester City from the English Premier League, and we're going to talk soccer, we're going to talk hockey with one of my favorite guys out here from Lotus Broadcasting, but especially also outside the building, an incredible person, Chris Chapman. Chap, I mean, the FIFA Club World Cup, they had some games where they had some semi-professional soccer players that had jobs out of pro soccer. But, man, once this knockout stage started, we started seeing some very high-quality soccer.
Yeah, the Auckland team, they had a bunch of gym teachers and stuff, and they actually managed to get a point in one of their games. They I can't remember, was it Benfica or Porto that they ended up drawing with? But, It was a little weird because they got smashed in their first two games. But now that we've gotten to the knockout stage, I was actually kind of disappointed that Monterrey lost last night. Not because I root for Monterrey or anything, but I just thought for CONCACAF it would be good to have a team progress into the quarterfinals. We have a team from Saudi Arabia, so obviously Asia represented there. But for CONCACAF, it would have been good to have a team, especially if they would have knocked off Dortmund to get there. But it's been great. The knockout stages have been great. PSG flexed their muscle the other day. They absolutely destroyed Leo Messi and Luis Suarez and Miami. But, I mean, I guess that was to be expected, right? PSG won the Champions League. They're taking it serious. They have a great coach. They've got a bunch of great players. Al Hilal was really, I think that's now the story of the tournament, because there's two stories here. There's, you have this club from Saudi Arabia who let's be honest, they have unlimited budget. They can go out and spend and buy whatever they want, just like Man City can. But for them to beat Man City, it's a story. Now, the story is people may have thought it was a fluke that Man City stunk. And by when I say stunk, they weren't competitive in the title race for the Premier League this year, which has not been the norm. They've got problems. Their back four is an issue. They've got some issues in the midfield. People thought maybe, you know, just missing one guy was what was ailing them. Clearly, they have some issues, because I don't believe for one second that they didn't want to win this. And to go out, not even make the quarters and lose to a team from Saudi Arabia, it's not what they expected. And for Pep, you know, he certainly is a guy who sets a very high standard, and he looked like he was going to cry.
He was disappointed. He was frustrated with that result. I mean, at times you would also feel that they weren't putting in the 100%. They thought that they were just going to steamroll over Al Hilal and win this game. And then it was like, oh, we're down. We need a score right now. And then 2 minutes later, they got a goal. And it's like, all right, we tied. Let's go get the lead. And then they were down again. And it's like, crap, we only got a couple of minutes to win this game. And then Al Hilal put everybody behind, and they weren't able to make that happen. But you look at the quarterfinals. You got five European teams, including titans of the game like Bayern Munich, PSG, Real Madrid. You got Chelsea in it too. You got Borussia Dortmund, who, like you said, eliminated the last CONCACAF team in Monterrey. Two Brazilians, Fluminense and Palmeiras, and Al Hilal. I mean, that's the big shocker. In my opinion, I thought that last place was going to be for a team from CONCACAF. And it's like, no, Saudi Arabia. Is that now where you know that they don't have a salary cap?
Right.
They can spend as much money as they can. Is Saudi Arabian professional soccer, their league, better than MLS and Liga MX now?
I think you could certainly make a case, because look, in Saudi Arabia, let's go back to the World Cup in Qatar. Saudi Arabia beat Argentina in the very first game. Now, they haven't done well, right? They came over here for the Gold Cup and their national team, but I don't know how many of those guys play for Al Hilal. I'd be lying if even to pretend to know. But Asian soccer, and I'll throw Japan and South Korea in there, and you know, Qatar and the UAE, they've been pretty competitive in the smaller version of this, when they only used to take the champion from each confederation and they would play it in the middle of the winter. And those teams always did fairly well. I know a Japanese team made the final a couple of years ago. I think they lost to Real Madrid. It may have been Kashima Antlers. But Asian soccer has been good. I think the AFC is probably better. Their top teams, I think, like when you look at on the international level, I think Japan, South Korea, Saudi Arabia, I feel like they may be at the same level, if not a little bit better, than the United States and Mexico. And, you know, I think Mexico, they tend to go through this little bit of a lull every once in a while, you know, where they don't develop the players. And then all of a sudden they have a group of players that go win the gold medal in the Olympics out of nowhere. So the United States is a little bit different. We should be a lot better than we are. And I think Pochettino has a vision. We'll see if it comes to fruition, because I think in a lot of cases, MLS gets in the way of the national team. They should be two completely separate entities, but they tend to not be. And that hurts the national team. That hurts the product. I'm a big believer in that, just as much as the pay-to-play system we have here.
Chris Chapman is our guest member of the Lotus Broadcasting family. Chap, you spoke about how Mexico sometimes goes through a lull. It seems like the U.S. right now, they're both in the same situation where they're in their final tournament where it's serious competition before they host the FIFA World Cup next year. This could be going into a World Cup in a crisis isn't a good formula, especially when you host.
Yeah, I think when you look at the generally the hosts of the World Cup tend to do fairly well by their standards. Now, we haven't had like a major power club or country host the World Cup in about 20 years. Germany in 2006 is, I think, Because 2010, it was in South Africa. Well, 2014 was in Brazil, and that didn't end well for Brazil. They ended up getting smashed by Germany. So it's interesting to me that we as a country are still seemingly in the same place we were 20, 25, 30 years ago, where, yeah, we should make it out of the group stage, but we don't really have very high expectations after that. I mean, the only time the United States has ever progressed into the quarterfinals of the World Cup, they beat Mexico in the round of 16. So it was two CONCACAF teams. So we were guaranteed to get a CONCACAF team through to the quarterfinals. Costa Rica had that nice run. I think that was in Brazil. In 2014, where they knocked out a couple of big name teams. But in general, CONCACAF tends to struggle. And you look at Africa in the last World Cup. They had Morocco make this amazing run. We've seen Turkey and South Korea both make runs to the semifinals. When are we going to get that team from CONCACAF, Harry? I don't know, because I look at the United States, I look at Mexico. Canada, certainly, I don't believe in. I look at the U.S. and Mexico, I'm like, you know, these two teams should be a lot better than what they are, because there's a ton of talent in Mexico. There's a ton of great talent in the United States. And why are they hindered? Why do they continue to falter? You probably have to look at the people running the programs.
And I mentioned how the U.S. and Mexico right now aren't in their best moment. Heck, Canada, they got eliminated by Guatemala in the quarterfinals via PKs. You can't let it go to those instances. And it's, well, now you got U.S. versus Guatemala, Mexico versus Honduras. I got to ask you about the Stars and Stripes. What's going on right now where you got Christian Pulisic, like I said, last competitive, really competitive games before the World Cup a year away, and he says, no, I'm not going to go. And you got other players pretty much in the same boat. Is it them not believing in Pochettino, or is it them just being like, club soccer is bigger than national team?
Well, you had Weston McKennie, who was part of Juventus. They were playing in the Club World Cup, so obviously he was going to participate in that. I think in the case of Pulisic, I think he's probably not required to play, right? Like, you look at, sure, you want the best team, but I don't really think the guys like that look at the Gold Cup as the standard of where they want to be. Like, the United States and Mexico seemingly win it every other year. Every iteration of the Gold Cup, it's one of those two teams winning. Whether they beat each other in the final, or they tend, like Mexico beat Jamaica a couple years ago in the Gold Cup final. So I think for Pulisic, he probably didn't need to be here. And for Pochettino, it's probably an opportunity to look at some of his younger players. Like, Malik Tillman's been really good for the United States, and he's a guy who's played in Europe, and I think he's probably a guy who should be on the radar for the World Cup team. But I don't know, there's a lot of competition, and it just seems like, you mentioned Canada, and it was funny because I saw Jesse Marsh made a comment before the game or before the tournament. He said, oh, all these guys want to play for Team Canada in the Gold Cup, and then when they got eliminated, all of a sudden it was, yeah, we were missing half our team.
No, we're, hey, that's exactly, that's what ends up happening. And now, I mean, they still got a shot at the final. We all hope it's Mexico, United States. Yeah. That's when the stadium gets jam-packed. That's when you got that big rivalry. I remember 2 years ago, like you said, when Jamaica out of nowhere eliminated the U.S. And it's like, well, all the people that paid for their tickets at SoFi Stadium, it's like, well, it's not as packed for the final because the U.S. didn't make it. And like I said, last competitive tournament, because as being a host country,
you're automatically qualified.
Yeah, you don't have to play. You don't have to make it to the World Cup. You're already in it. Hopefully it doesn't affect these teams going into the tournament. Chris Chapman, he's here with us. And of course, you've been day one talking Golden Knights since they came to town, and they've been doing some big moves. I see Mitch Marner, he's now a member of the Vegas Golden Knights. What does he mean for this franchise, them being able to get him in the building?
Well, it's a game changer for them. Mitch Marner is one of the best hockey players on the planet. You're going to pair him with Jack Eichel. Now you have two elite players. You look at Marner's numbers and you go deeper. Yeah, he only had 27 goals, but he had over 100 points. So he's a guy who clearly has capability to set his teammates up. He's a playmaker. Kelly McCrimmon made the comment yesterday at the introductory presser where he's like, well, we've got Eichel and we've got Marner, two guys who are well known for being assist men. Well, one of them is going to have to start shooting the puck a little bit more. And that's true. But whether you pair them together, which I imagine that's going to be the plan going forward, because you generally want to have your two best players together, they could split them up, and they could, because Golden Knights have a formidable top six with Tomáš Hertl and Pavel Dorofeev, who certainly both of those guys had over 30 goals last year. You put Mitch Marner out there with those two guys, and there's a chance that maybe, you know, one of them hits 40. So it gives this team options, but I see some people hating on it on social media. They don't know hockey if they're knocking this move. Listen, I don't care about the money. It's not my money. I've never been one of those people who, oh, this guy's getting paid too much. I don't care. Get your money. If someone wants to pay me $12 million to do this, you could have all the opinions you want about me being overpaid. I'm sleeping well at night. So, yeah, it's a great move, Harry. I mean, this is a team that has Stanley Cup aspirations every single year. If you're a fan of this team, listen, you're Raider Nation Radio. If your general manager comes out and he says in a presser, if Spytek shows up to a presser and says, our goal is to win the damn Super Bowl every single season. We don't care what it takes. That's what we want to do. Anything less is unacceptable. We have very high expectations in this office, in this locker room with this team. And that's exactly what the Golden Knights general manager, he comes out and he tells everyone, our goal is to win the championship every year. Not winning the championship is not in our plans. And so they constantly are out there continuing to find ways to try to get better. And this year they got the big prize. They got Mitch Marner. And he's a guy who, he wants to be here. He's an elite two-way forward, which means he plays a good defensive game for an offensive skill player. It's a great fit, I think. It's really a good move for the Golden Knights. So if you're a Golden Knights fan, you should really, really be excited about this.
And, of course, you go back to when the team started. Bill Foley, what did he say, cup and five or cup and six?
Cup and six. They got that, cup and six.
And then you see the team, how they go and sign Mark Stone. They go and sign Jack Eichel. Now they brought this new player. They are showing the commitment. It's like, hey, we're going after the best, and it's like we want to win every year.
Yeah, listen, I'm a New York Jets fan, and the Golden Knights came into existence, made a Stanley Cup final, made the playoffs, then won a championship, and the Jets, you have to go back 6 years before the Golden Knights even existed, before they made the playoffs. So there's certainly a very high standard, and it starts at the top, and it's a commitment to winning. Not every franchise has that. Even in the NHL, there's not a lot of franchises that want to win every year. Some of them are just okay being mediocre. Like I said, I'm a New York Jets fan. I believe the owner wants to win, but I don't think it's keeping them up at night if they're losing. Whereas I think Bill Foley, I think he loses sleep if the team's not winning.
I'm pretty sure that's the case.
That's the owner I want.
Hell yeah.
I don't want Woody Johnson.
You sure? No, just kidding. Of course.
Listen,
not.
They can't even make the playoffs, let alone a Super Bowl. So,
so tell me, GK Insider Show, you were there from day one. You just had your final episode last night, right? How was that for you?
Yeah, it was a little emotional because I started on the show. It was I was part of the show from the very first episode. We didn't even know who the players on the team were when we started. And I did my last show last night. I'm going to be leaving Lotus Broadcasting in about 2 weeks. So a little emotional for me. I'm kind of now running out the season, I guess. You know, like I'm not making the playoffs, and we just have a couple of games left in the season before I hang it up. And yeah, I'm on my way. My wife accepted a job in Japan, and so we're going to be, well, she's already been there. She's been there for a month, and I'm actually going to be packing up the rest of our stuff, and she's coming back in about 2 weeks, and we're going to drive up to the Pacific Northwest and hang out up there for a week because that's one of our favorite places in the country, and then we're going to get on a plane with our dogs, Komachi and Kojiro.
They're
who,
awesome.
Who Harry knows. And we're going to fly across the Pacific to Japan, and I'm going to start a new life there. I have no idea what I'm going to do for work, but I told my wife I want to become a fisherman, and she kind of looked at me like I had three heads, and she said, well, nobody's going to want to sit next to you on the train. And I said to her, you say that like it's a bad thing. You know, like, give me my space. But I don't know the first thing about being a fisherman. But it sounds fun.
Put the worm on the hook, put the stick in the water.
There you go. Bobby just gave you the lesson.
He's from Massachusetts. They know a little bit more about fishing up there.
Fish.
Yeah.
Right.
They have a thing called an oyster farmer, which actually looks like it'd be interesting because you just go out in the morning on the little boat by yourself. Me, I'd bring the dogs with me. Yeah. And I'd go out to the little dock where they farm the oysters. And, you know, you check and make sure that they're not sick and there's no disease and that they're the right size. And when it's time to pick them, you pull them off the vine and you throw them in the bucket. Like,
hey, how about the language, brother?
Yeah, I don't speak very much Japanese. I know about five words. And two of them are Komachi and Kojiro.
Konnichiwa
is probably the only other word. No, I know a few words.
Is arigato Japanese?
Arigato, yes, is Japanese. Arigato gozaimasu is thank you very much.
There you go.
Yeah, domo arigato, Mr. Roboto. Yeah.
I know Shohei Ohtani. Yeah. Yoshinobu Yamamoto, those are my four favorite words.
Listen, there's another guy over there right now, and I'm guessing he's probably on the Dodgers radar. He's called Murakami, or his name is Murakami. He nearly broke the single-season home run record in Japan. He's coming over. He's going to post next year. He plays with a team called the Yakult Swallows. And, by the way, Trevor Bauer plays for the Yokohama Bay Stars, which is my wife literally works a five-minute walk from that stadium. So I imagine I'm going to see Trevor, who was sent to the minors, by the way. So maybe his trip to the majors, he's gotten rocked in his last two starts. But
interesting.
This Murakami guy, pay attention to him. He's going to be the next big Japanese star who comes over. He's a power hitter, and he's very, very young, much like Ohtani was when he came over. And he's not a dual threat, but he is a beast at the plate. Probably in the frame of Matsui. Who played
Hideki?
For the Yankees, Godzilla, Hideki Matsui. Another big power hitter. So that's the guy. Yakult Swallows, Murakami is like I said, he's going to be the next big star. So pay attention. If you're a Dodger fan, start paying attention to those Yakult Swallow games because he may be at Chavez Ravine next year.
Right. Chris, I know that a lot of people are going to miss you out here in Las Vegas. I'm one of them. You're always a great guy to bump into, to have a good conversation either at a stadium, at an arena here in the halls of Lotus Broadcasting. And I was like, I hope I can still catch him here in the studio. And we'll use the interview as an excuse to just tell you thank you, that we appreciate you, that you are somebody that's well-beloved both inside and outside the industry, and we wish you the best of success out there to your dogs, to your wife, starting a new life out there. And the beauty of now of life in 2025 is social media. We stay connected through Twitter, through Instagram, through Facebook. So you'll still have your Twitter and Instagram, Magnum 702, right?
Magnum 702, yeah, my Twitter and my Instagram. I'm going to start a YouTube channel to kind of show what life is like. We're going to be living in a city called Chigasaki, which is about 20. It's about my home is going to be 20 minutes from the beach. So I'm going to pick up surfing again, which is not something I grew up on the Jersey Shore. So I grew up surfing, but I haven't done it in about 25, 30 years. Hopefully it's like riding a bike, but it's a big surf community, sister city with Honolulu. So I'm going to fit right in, I think.
Yeah, 100%. You're going to start. There you go. That's going to be your job. You're going to start teaching the tourists how to surf out there. Yeah, my brother, thank you so much for coming on today. Golden Knights, soccer, any kind of sport you want to talk with Chris Chapman, Magnum 702 on Instagram and on Twitter. Let's go to a break. Not before going to it, I want to send out a shout-out to the Castro Verde Law Group, Alex in Orlando, 702-222-9999. They are big Raider fans, but they're even bigger fans of making you feel like family. If you got a personal injury at work, a car accident, any kind of those situations, 702-222-9999 is the number you should call. Let's go to a break. After it, some hoops talk.
To the JT the Brick Show with today's guest host, Harry Ruiz.
Would you still rather have Luka
over Cooper Flagg?
Man, give me Cooper Flagg.
Really?
Cooper Flagg and this team, yeah, give me Cooper Flagg, man. You're talking about a team, when they're healthy, got three future Hall of Famers with Kyrie, AD, and Klay Thompson. So this is really exciting. The Mavericks, their future is bright, but they have a window when they're healthy of the next 2 to 3 years with this roster as currently constructed.
That's Avery Johnson, former Dallas Mavericks head coach, former NBA player, talking about Cooper Flagg. I mean, that's an interesting statement right there. Are you on the same page? Give me Cooper Flagg over Luka Doncic. I mean, you look at the history of number one overall picks in the NBA, and for every Victor Wembanyama, you end up with a Zion Williamson. For every Paolo Banchero, who has one All-NBA third team, I think, you get a DeAndre Ayton. For every, let's see, somebody recent, Anthony Edwards, you get a Markelle Fultz. So that, for me, was a very interesting statement because nothing is a sure bet. Let's remember, Anthony Bennett out of UNLV. He was the number one overall pick in 2013. What happened with him? Andrew Wiggins, when the Cavs took him number one overall out of Kansas. What happened with him? Then you get successful cases like a Karl Anthony Towns, but or players then go and get injured like a Zion Williamson, who had all the hype in the world. That was a very interesting statement. And when Bobby, our producer, showed me the list of audio cuts that we had available for today's show, I was like, let's play that one. I wouldn't go that far. I do think Cooper Flagg is going to be a successful player in the NBA. But when you look at what Luka Doncic has done in the NBA since he joined the league, I mean, this guy is 26 years old. He's a five-time NBA All-Star, a five-time All-NBA first team. I mean, that tells you he is up there with the best of the best. Last year, with an between injuries and everything that happened in the trade and everything, he wasn't a first-team, an All-NBA guy. But, man, to say you'd rather have an unknown commodity, because it's very different going from college to pros. And Cooper Flagg right now, yes, he has all the hype in the world around him, and yes, he's a very talented player, but at the same time, he's an unknown commodity. You don't know if he's going to be Anthony Bennett or if he's going to end up being Victor Wembanyama. Because when you look at Wemby, he is an alien. You look at his height, his reach, everything going on with him, he has every physical gift that you would want from a basketball player. Cooper Flagg is really good. Two different worlds. That was a very interesting quote right there from Avery Johnson. Thank you to Bobby for having it ready for us here for today's show. Another thing when it comes to hoops, Mike Brown is the new head coach for the New York Knicks. I know JT the Brick, the host of this show, he's not very happy with the situation. He was hoping the Knicks would go another way with the selection, but at the same time, they got declined, what, like five times from assistant coaches from other teams that were under contract? They tried interviewing coaches from other places, and they got said no, no, no. They were declined, 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 declined. So they had to go with Mike Brown, where if you look at his resume, you can see him being a head coach with the Cleveland Cavaliers, the Lakers, Cavaliers once again, the Kings most recently, 2022 through 2025. But where he has been able to have the most success is when he's been an assistant coach with the Spurs, with the Warriors, and now here he comes, a former head coach of the year in the NBA, Mike Brown, to the Knicks. Bobby.
You know, I think it's really interesting that this is how far they had to go to get a head coach. What was it? Five other people turned them down?
And it was the other team turning them down where it's like, no, we don't want you to interview our guy under contract. Go find somewhere else.
It just seems to me, you would think, like, I mean, the Knicks, that would be a prestigious head coaching job, I would think.
Yeah, and I mean, you look at how they're coming off of their best season in, what, two decades?
Went to the Eastern Conference Finals?
They got a talented squad.
I mean, you know, look.
You know that Dolan's going to want to go back, so he's going to spend money.
I mean, y'all can't be Joe Mazzulla. Not everybody can be Joe Mazzulla. But, you know, you would think that the Knicks would be that's a major franchise.
That's a number one market in the United States.
And it's the NBA in the mecca of, you know, come on now.
Yeah, people get excited. People get excited when they go to Madison Square Garden. Can you imagine? That's your home?
No, that's where
you play every home game?
That's where I work. That's 82 games a year.
That's crazy.
No. I'd rather be the coach of the Oklahoma City Thunder. I know they just got a ring, but, you know, come on now.
Yeah, that's some very interesting scenario. And, hey, now Mike Brown, he's in that position, and let's see how he does. It doesn't have the big name feel that you want from a franchise like that. But, like, you go to the Lakers. What was it, last year, J.J. Redick?
Mm-hmm.
Me as a Laker fan, I'm like, I don't know. I feel that feels like a LeBron James hire, not a Los Angeles Laker hire.
Well, not everybody can be Krzyzewski, of course. But, you know, come on. For New York, you would think even a Calipari, anything, you would get a name coach.
And no disrespect to Mike Brown, but it doesn't feel that that's the case. And now you look over. I mentioned the Lakers. LeBron James, is he staying? Is he going? Is he going to keep I feel that he's keeping the team hostage.
LeBron's staying. There's no point in him going to Cleveland.
You're not
going to have the impact on the Cavaliers, this year's Cavaliers, that you would have on the Lakers.
Key part, he has a no-trade clause, so he would have to agree to the team that he's going. Nah. It's not in the Lakers' control. It's pretty much a situation like the Mavericks where...
And real quick, just so you know, the Celtics are not going after Giannis. This next year, they're just going to mail that one in.
Yeah, mail it in. You don't have Tatum, you ain't going to win it. So what's the difference between winning the championship and not winning the championship if you're last place, if you're second place? It's pretty much the same thing. Get a good draft pick and make it to the next phase of your history. Raider Nation, sports fans, that was it today. I'm Harry Ruiz. Vince Sapienza will be in for JT the Brick tomorrow. We want to thank you very much for being here. Hugh Myers is coming up with Unnecessary Roughness.